All right. So anyway, what I felt would be appropriate is Memorial Day. Memorial means a remembrance. Remembrance. And so we're remembering those who not just gave some, but who gave all. And so that's what we're remembering this weekend, is those who gave their life in winning and purchasing our freedom. So before I jump into my message, I thought, well, then let's just take a couple minutes of quiet and just think about those. Maybe it was one of your relatives. Maybe you had a relative or a friend or somebody that, you know, their name is in Gettysburg or wherever it might be. But let's just take a couple minutes of quiet and remember those who purchased our freedom by giving their all. Amen. I know I'm certainly thankful that somebody bought my freedom. All right, so I want to just by way of reminding you and by way of remembrance what I shared with you about the last time that I preached. And we determined together that love was the most powerful force there is. We said it's more powerful than all the things that nature can do. We decided it was more powerful than hate, fear, prejudice, anger, and even evil, because love conquers all. Amen? All right, so today I want to challenge you a little bit, so I want you to think with me. Pastor Kurt said, should we put this on Facebook? I'm like, yeah, I travel all over, and it'll be up here, and there won't be anybody on it. So, you just got me live today. So I wanted you to think about something with me. When you lay down at night to go to bed, what are you thinking about? So just take a minute and think about that. When you get up in the morning, what do you wake up thinking about? This morning, I get up really early all week long, and so you may as well forget me sleeping in on Saturdays or Sundays. So 5:45, I woke up this morning, and I'm laying there, and I'm thinking about, okay, Memorial Day. We're having our picnic today. It didn't suit the girls to do it tomorrow. And I went, oh, I was supposed to marinate the chicken overnight. So I'm glad I am up at 5:45. So now I can go down and get my chicken strips out. We do two flavors and get them marinating all morning. So that's what I woke up thinking about. What do you think about when you have those few brief quiet times during the day? I mean, with me and working three jobs, I have very brief quiet times. It's usually when I'm driving to or from one or the other job. This week for my credit union day, I worked from the Harrisburg office, so I was down on Paxton Street. So while you're driving, what are you thinking about? How about when you're cooking or washing dishes or mowing the lawn? So normally I love mowing the lawn. Cell phones in the house, TV's off, it's just me and nature. So, you know, people said, well, we'll help you mow the lawn. Oh, no, no, no. I look forward to mowing the lawn. But this week, so Tuesday I taught, I was in the high school this week. I was in the elementary school. I taught kindergarten twice. My wife goes, oh, you can have kindergarten. But anyway, I'm mowing on Tuesday and I'm going around my yard and I'm thinking, there was a little incident in kindergarten. And I thought, you know, instead of that, I could have said that. Instead of doing that, I could have done that. And what would that person have done? And, you know, Miss Sharon did this for 35 years. What would she have said and done? I really didn't think that, but she's sitting right here. So, but, you know, I'm thinking, well, if the teacher was here, how would she have handled it? And so I am going through all this in my mind. And there's nothing wrong with self-evaluation, but then I started to obsess over it. Like, I just continually thought, well, I should have said this, I should have said that. Because I like to always do things right. And I didn't think I handled that quite as well as I could have. Now, if you're with kindergarten, you know the chaos. And you don't always get to choose exactly the perfect way to respond. But that's what I was thinking about. So what I want to tell you today is those things that you go to bed thinking about, those things that you wake up thinking about, that you think about when you're mowing or driving, that's what you're focused on. That is where your focus is, on those things that you're thinking about. And you might say, well, that's great, because I just think about good things all the time. Well, yay for you. But those rest of us, we could use a little bit better learning the skill of not thinking about certain things. All right, Matthew 14. Matthew 14. We're going to start at verse 13. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to go to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already late. Send the crowd away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." But, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here," he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass, and Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed it to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day in addition to all the women and children. Immediately after this, okay, so I was setting the stage, giving you the context, Jesus had just fed the 5,000. It says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back in the boat, cross to the other side of the lake, while he sent the people away. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if that's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yeah, come," said Jesus. So Peter went over the side of the boat walking on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. And immediately, Jesus reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" So it says they were out in the lake and they were in trouble. Does anybody besides me ever find yourself in trouble? Yeah. Maybe you're having financial trouble. Maybe you're having health issues. Maybe you're feeling discouraged. But you're in trouble. I think that happens to a few of us, don't you? Yeah. And then the strong winds came and the large waves came. And I'm thinking, you know, that's the unexpected. Because you're just going through life and then pow. Okay, the winds come, the waves come, something unexpected. And there's a storm and you're trying to navigate and it's hard to see. You're fighting to move forward. Maybe you're even finding it difficult to stay afloat. So Jesus, right in that situation, gave them some words of truth. He said, "Do not fear." Now, were they in a fearful situation? They were. But if he said to them, "Do not fear," that means that they had a choice. Otherwise, why would he tell them that? He wouldn't say, "Don't fear," if they had no choice but to be afraid. Right? And when I'm in trouble, I need reminded of that. So this morning is a reminder of that. When we're going through difficulty and we're going through trouble, we get to choose. Because Jesus said, "Do not be afraid." So my first question is, well, I'm in the middle of a storm. Winds are blowing. Waves are coming. Water's in the boat. I'm starting to sink. Why shouldn't I be afraid? Right? And Jesus said, "Because I am here." Come on. Now, he wasn't actually in the boat yet, but he was there in the situation. Now, I don't know about you, because again, I can just answer for me, but I remember a number of years ago that trouble hit me like somebody took a fist and punched me. And I was sitting on the floor in my bedroom with my knees up and my head and my knees, and I was fearful. And I'm like, "Lord, where are you?" Because when you are full of fear, you can't hear or sense him. Come on. So that's why Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, and I am here with you." Those are two truths we need to remember. We get to choose what we do with fear, and we need to remember he's there whether we feel him or not. Because afterwards, as I was praying, and this was years later, I said, "Where were you?" And I got a picture of him right beside me with his arms around me. And I was like, "Yeah, I couldn't feel that." And that's when he said, "That's because you allowed yourself to become full of fear and you couldn't hear or sense me." So we each get to choose. No one else, including God, can make that decision for us. We like to say, "Well, God can do everything. There's nothing he can't do. Nothing's impossible with him." He can't choose for us. It's one thing he can't do. We have to make the choice. So then it says, a couple words just jumped out at me. I mean, this is a very familiar verse and section of scripture to me. I've read this over and over and over. But who knows, the word of God is powerful enough that you can read the same passage your whole life and different things jump out every time you read it, right? So this did that to me this time. Other times, it was all about Peter stepping out. This time, it wasn't about that. It said, seeing the wind. Remember how I started? What do you think about when you go to bed? What do you think about when you wake up in the morning? What do you think about when you're mowing the lawn or driving? Peter saw the wind. What was he thinking about? He now changed his focus from Jesus to looking at the wind. So here he is walking on water. There's Jesus. "Hi, Nancy." There's Jesus right there with Nancy. And he's looking that way. And then all of a sudden, he goes, "Wow, look at that wind and what it's doing to the water. I probably shouldn't be out of the boat in the middle of the storm. That probably wasn't the wisest choice I ever made." So focusing on the wind, what happened? You all know. He sunk. What was Peter looking at previously? He was looking at Jesus. When he was focused on Jesus, what was he able to do in the midst of trouble? Walk through the difficulty. See, I'm the guy who prays, Lord, the wind's blowing and the waves are coming. Stop this storm. Now he does, but only after it went on for a while. And I'm thinking, you know, why did you have Peter walk on the water and not just stop the storm? Because he wants you to be convinced that he's there with you, you don't have to be afraid, and you can actually walk through the storm. When he looked at the wind, however, it says he became terrified. Terrified means full of paralyzing fear. Not just fear, but now he's terrified. He has paralyzing fear. And he started to sink. Has anybody ever been there? You're now going under. Deeper and deeper and deeper. So no one else can make the decision for us not to fear or where to focus. That's all us. God cannot do that. Our friends cannot do that. Our family cannot do that. Our church brothers and sisters cannot do that. Now, what can they do? They can remind us in the situation, don't fear and look at Jesus. And believe me, I've had times where I need people to say, don't fear and look at Jesus. And I'm thinking, that's easy for you to say. You know, you're standing on the shore and I'm out in the water and the winds are blowing and the waves and I'm in trouble. But we have to make that choice. Every day we get to decide where we are looking, who we are looking at, and what we are focused on. Come on, every day that's a choice. Who we're looking at, what we're focused on, and where we're looking. So then the question is, now that we've talked a little bit about it, what have you been focusing on? The news? Things happening in the political realm? Your finances? Your health? Your difficulties? Or Jesus? I know my focus isn't often where it should be. So what happened when Peter changed his focus and he looked at the wind and the waves? He became afraid. Fear threatened to engulf him, and then he started to sink. It is a terrible feeling to start to sink. Sink into fear, sink into anxiety, sink into despair or depression. But Peter made one good choice, one good choice. It was not the best choice to choose to take his eyes off of Jesus, but once he realized he was starting to sink, he made the best choice at all. Okay? And maybe some of you are there this morning. Lord, save me! Okay, as he's going down and down and down and down, he's, you know, he's up to here and he's going down and down. And right away, okay? Jesus, save me! And sometimes we picture the Father or Jesus as saying, you made the decision to look at the wind and the waves. Hopefully you have a life jacket on or at least your swimsuit. Okay, swim to the boat. Don't we? Come on, let's be honest. Okay, but we need to realize that the Father and Jesus does what he did with Peter. He picked him up. And he stood him on the water again. It doesn't say he carried him, right, Pastor Kurt? So then they walked on the water in the midst of the wind and the waves over and got into the boat. Come on. So today I want to encourage you to raise your eyes, even as you're sinking and feeling like maybe you're going to drown, and yell, Lord! Save me. In Jonah 2:2, remember where Jonah was? He wasn't just starting to sink. That boy was already in the whale. Okay? And this is what he said from inside the whale. I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. Lord, you heard me, he said. In Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in time of trouble. So we will not fear. There we are again. Choice. Will not fear. Psalm 46:1, Frank. 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble, so we will not fear. All right, let's go back to Matthew 14. And we'll pick it up in 30. When he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him, saying, You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. So the other truth we need to come to realize is who Jesus, our Savior and friend, actually is. When he stepped in the boat and all of a sudden the storm was gone, they go, ah, you really are who you've been saying that you are. After they had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret, and when the people, listen to the word, recognized Jesus. See, sometimes in the midst of our situation, we need to recognize Jesus. We need to see him there. The news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole region, and soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his garment, and all who touched him were healed. So when you and I see Jesus a certain way, in this case, they recognize that he was a healer, then we can choose to lift our eyes off of our situation and say, Jesus, our eyes are on you. You are our healer. So we have an example from Scripture of someone else that did that. And I realize today we're talking about some familiar Scriptures, some familiar stories, but we're pulling it all together on this idea of what are you focused on? Who are you focused on? And we started by saying, how do I tell what I'm focused on? It's what you're thinking when you go to bed, what you're thinking about when you wake up, what you're thinking about during your quiet time throughout the day. Mark 5. Okay, so Jairus, the official, had come and talked to Jesus and said, would you come to my house? And Jesus said, yes, I'll go to your house. Verse 24. Jesus went with him and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. Can you imagine? I'm whispering on purpose. Turn up your hearing aid. She had bled for 12 years. I mean, can you imagine how exhausting that would be and how, anemic she would be. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years she had spent everything she had to pay them. But she'd gotten no better. No better. In fact, she had gotten worse. Anybody ever there? Didn't get better. You actually got worse. She had heard about Jesus. She had heard about Jesus. So So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she had thought to herself, focused on Jesus. Come on, you see where we're going? If I can but just touch his robe, I will be healed. Now, come on, that's faith. I would have at least wanted Jesus to lay his hand on me, maybe anoint me with oil, maybe spit and make mud and slap it on my eye. I mean, but just to reach and touch and Jesus not even be aware? Immediately. Come on, folks, are you noticing the truth in the word? It didn't say she went home and a month later, but immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of this terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd, "Who touched me?" And his disciples were like, "Come on, we're in a crowd. Everybody's touching you and pressing up against you. Why are you asking who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done that. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened, came and fell down to her knees in front of him and told him what she'd done. He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." She had recognized Jesus as her healer. So what are you focused on? What are you thinking about? Are you recognizing who Jesus is? Okay, that was the truth of the situation, who Jesus is. Well, let's just make this a little more real and honest. In John 6, some of Jesus' followers were having, let's call it a crisis of faith. They were having a crisis of faith. They were having concerns and difficulties understanding some of what Jesus was saying and doing. Do you and I sometimes struggle with what Jesus is doing or not doing, saying or not saying? We don't understand the whys and the why nots. Anybody? Am I speaking to the right crowd? So Jesus asked his closest followers, "Are you also going to leave me because you don't understand, because you're wondering why? You thought I was going to overthrow Rome. I didn't do anything against Rome. You thought that I was going to become a political leader. I'm not becoming a political leader. I didn't do what you thought I was going to do. So are you going to leave me also?" And we each have to decide that, don't we? Whenever we're going through trouble or difficulty. But Peter, now we can always count on Peter. He's going to have something to say. This time he actually said the right thing. Peter said, "Lord, to whom else would we go?" Who else would we go to? Where else would we turn? You only have words that give eternal life. Only him. He's the only one. We believe. We believe. And we, listen, know that you are the Holy One of God. So it's important for us to recognize when we're going through trouble, when we're going through difficulty, when we're in the midst of a storm, who he is, and that he's with us. So sometimes we need to just stop the negative thoughts. Boy, is that easy. It is not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But we just have to stop the negative thoughts and adjust our focus, because the negative thoughts are what we're focused on. and change our focus to Him. We need to remind ourselves. How do we remind ourselves? Okay, I don't have a written word. I just have this one. But read the Word. Put on a worship song. Call somebody and say, hey, would you join me in prayer? Remind ourselves of who He is, that we get to choose not to be afraid, and that we're going to put our focus on Him. So we're, as you've heard in a number of sermons in the last 3 months or more, we're choosing to not believe the lie, but to believe the truth. Psalm 100 says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Sometimes we don't feel like shouting joyfully, do we? But you know, there's an exclamation there, and that almost feels like a command. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him, singing with joy. Now listen to these words again. Remember I said it's important we know who He is, but it's also important to know who you are. Know that the Lord, He is God. He is God. He's bigger than the storm. He's bigger than the situation. He made us, and we are His. Come on. That's our identity. Yes, I'm in the middle of a storm. Yes, I'm having difficulty. But regardless of all that, I'm still His. Okay, anybody want to say yes to that this morning? Yes, I'm His. Yes, I'm His. We are His people. And the Lord is good. Sometimes in situations we say, Lord, I don't know, right? His unfailing love. Remember, we started by reminding ourselves that love conquers all and love is the most powerful force there is. Your unfailing love continues forever. His faithfulness to each generation. So it doesn't matter if you're in the older generation like I am. And there's a few here older than me yet. We won't point out who that is. And then we have the middle generation, and then we have the teenage generation, and then we have the little critters downstairs, right? His faithfulness to every generation. All right, so I want to pray, but then we're going to listen to a song, and I want you to ask the Lord to help you. Say, Lord, if I have been focused on the wind and the waves, if I have been thinking about over and over again my difficulty, help me to shift that to You and who You are and who I am. We're going to be praying that during the song. I didn't feel to ask people up front this time. I feel like this is to be a conversation between you and the Lord. Okay? So while we play the song, then I just want you to have this conversation with the Lord. But before that, I want to pray a minute. So, Father, we do thank You for Your faithfulness. And I am going to remind myself that You are good and that You love me and that You are God and that I belong to You. I belong to You. And, Father, I'm going to remind myself that You are with me. Whatever I'm going through, however difficult it is, You are right there with me. Even if I can't sense You, hear You, or feel You, You are there because You tell us You will never, 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 ever leave us. So it doesn't matter what my situation is, You're there. And help me, help us to choose not to be full of fear, not to be afraid at all, because our focus is on you and not the situation, not the storm, and not the difficulty. All right, let's listen to the song, guys. It's the Cody Carnes song.
I've seen miracles my mind can't comprehend, and there is beauty in what I can't understand. Jesus, it's you. Jesus, it's you. I believe you're the wonder-working God. You're the wonder-working God. All the miracles I've seen, too good to not believe. You're the wonder-working God, and you heal because you love. All the miracles we'll see, you're too good to not believe. Too good to not believe. Too good to not I can't resurrect a man with my own hands, but just the mention of your name can raise the dead. Yeah. All the glory to the only one who can. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen real life resurrection. We've seen mental health restored. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. We've seen family.
Salvation. wonder-working God. Don't you ever stop believing, 'cause he's so, so good. So, so good.
Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer to close. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word that is alive and that stirs us. Lord, we thank you for the things that you're speaking to us this morning through Pastor Steve. Such an awesome reminder of your faithfulness, of your trustworthiness, of your love that you have for us today. And Father, I thank you for even the new beginnings, the newness that you're bringing to us. For those that have been in a long-term situation, there has been long suffering. I thank you for just a renewed sense of the grace of God, which is sufficient in the midst of the long suffering. The peace that passes understanding in the midst of the long suffering. The love that never fails. Just a newness of the awareness of your love for us in the midst of the long-term situation. So I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I thank you that your word will bear much fruit to the glory of God. And so I just pray that you be with each one of us as we go home, in Jesus' name. Amen.